And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention. Five topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. Coming up on the show, Clippers sinking, Poeltl on the move, West playing, and Luka pushing for moves. Today is January 19th. It's National Popcorn Day. Jay, are you a regular popcorn eater?
Not at all. I'll have some when I go to the movies, but that's about the only time.
Will?
I'm right there. I feel like we're both kind of crazy right now, but I feel like I see a lot of popcorn at NBA arenas, and I never eat any of it.
Worst, I don't have a microwave.
Worst
though.
Idea. Worst idea is to get popcorn at an NBA arena. Don't do that. It's 100%. Disgusting. It's disgusting.
See, that's the type of popcorn I like the gross popcorn. Like just poured tons of butter on it.
Oh, the butter at the movies is like no go. I'm not touching that whole station. I'm good.
You like bad popcorn. How do you like bad? Never mind. I don't want to get into this. All right. Our two contestants.
Bad popcorn is good popcorn.
In this corner, the most braggadocious Beantown bench warmer on a college team that went 2-21. He writes Celtics. He reps Kings. Baby. And he still believes in Kevin Pitsnoggle, Luke Herangode, and anybody else who flamed out on their way to the basketball tournament. You can ride with him on Peloton at the Kid the God. It's Orville Red Auerbacher.
That was
Jay, good. Sacramento King. Jay, who was the best media meal in the NBA?
The Celtics have a really good spread. They have a brisket. When it's brisket day, there is nothing better.
Homer.
I'm telling you, this brisket is like high quality restaurant brisket. It is amazing. And if you ever came on brisket night, you would agree with me. But Detroit is like,
I was gonna say, come on, like, now. There's one correct answer here.
Kids heaven. And Detroit, just stack up on pizza, stack up on breadsticks, stack up on chicken fingers. It's
all Little Caesars, right?
Yeah.
Hey, the hot and ready got me through some.
But
tough
it's
times,
better man. Than Little Caesars. Like it's not.
Okay.
It's better. It's actually better.
Yeah, they got the Little Caesars section, and then they have like that regular meal, and they got a little salad section. It's like, when you go to Detroit, it's like the city before. Everybody's like, yo, you know we're going to Detroit next time. I was like, well, y'all got to get ready.
I'd be like 350 pounds if I covered the Pistons.
Schleck, fire up the jazz band, because in this corner from the sweet streets of New Orleans, Crescent City's finest, it's Pelicans beat reporter and future author of the book, Big But Not So Easy, The Zion Williamson Story. It's Will Guillory. Will, what makes Detroit the best media meal?
Just the variety. You know, you can go in, get you a little pizza. You can get you, I think the last time I went, I had some roast with some potatoes. They just give you a little bit of everything. You got the options. They got a whole dessert section. It's like, I'm really angry that the Pels are in the West. I only make one trip to Detroit a season. That's how fire their media food is. And here's my hot take. New Orleans, number one food city on the NBA calendar. Number 30 for media dining. It's consistent.
Rough. Yeah,
it's consistently trash in there.
Yeah, it's rough in there. You know who surprised me back in the day? And this was after they didn't have any money. The Maloofs used to put out a good media spread, even after
the cookies there
they went
are delicious.
Broke.
Cookies there are big time.
Big
they
time.
They put a lot of thought and care into the cookies. Madison Square Garden should be ashamed for what they should be.
Oh, MSG is trash.
Is awful.
It's trash.
Oh,
100%.
I don't know what they're doing in there, but I know what we're doing in here. It's time for Point of Contention. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. Clip ship sinking on Tuesday night. Clippers fell to the Sixers, putting the Clippers at 23-23. They've been in a free fall lately, winning just two of their last 10 games. And those wins against the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks. Paul George had this to say after the loss to the Sixers, quote, "We've just been behind the ball in terms of injuries, lineups, and guys in and out. Urgency starts now. We got to start playing with some desperation." Clips currently 23rd in net rating, with their offense being the biggest concern. Their offense ranked 27th in the NBA. The biggest reason for that, Kawhi and Paul George have only played 16 games together. In their minutes together, they are plus 7.6 per 100 possessions per NBA.com. So, Jay, I ask you, is it time for the Clippers to panic, or give a little hope that they can get healthy and right the ship?
It's not panic, but there are legitimate problems with this team. Their point guards just aren't really threatening in the half court at all. The Celtics, when they played them, guarding them with Luke Kornet on Reggie Jackson, Luke Kornet on John Wall, and totally got away with it. Like, if you look at that roster beyond the injury stuff, which is obviously a huge, huge piece of why they are where they are, why they're 500. But beyond that, like, who is their third best player? Honestly. Like, you think of other contenders.
Zubats, right?
Maybe Zubats. You think of other contenders, and the third best player is, like, a extremely good basketball
player. Batum, maybe.
And
Kennard.
To me,
Terrence,
like,
Kennard's
right. They're super deep. He's really good. They have a ton of actual NBA players who deserve minutes, but their third best player, like, it's just hard to be a title contender when your third best player is Zubats or whoever else it is. I think they need to go out and upgrade this roster. And they're really good. Like, their defense, when they're healthy, is just engulfing. And
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and they haven't even had killer. Kawhi and Paul George together most of the time. And their defense is, like, really, really tough. And just watching them play, like, they're locked in, they're tough, they're big, they can play a lot of different ways. But that offense is just kind of yuck. It's yuck. Kawhi is going to have to be, like, superhuman. And, well, Paul George will have to be superhuman unless they make upgrades somehow. Like, I just see how that roster becomes better than an average offense unless those guys are just phenomenal, which could happen.
Well, Will, is it just about getting to the playoffs healthy, or is there a change needed? Because even if they're, like, in the play-in tournament, but Kawhi and Paul George are ready to go once we get to mid-April, isn't that kind of just that's what matters?
Yeah, but I agree with Jay that they got to do something about the guard play. I mean, they're trying Terrence Mann at point guard right now, which is like,
I kind of like that look. I kind of like that.
They're putting the best players on the court, which is fine, but, like, Terrence Mann ain't going to get the job done when you're playing in the playoffs and people can game plan against
Rudy Gobert
him. It's like,
disagrees.
But it's like, with this team, it feels like every single bucket, they got to work so hard. And Kawhi and PG's got to do something amazing every single time down just for them to get 2 points. Like, nothing's easy for them. And they just need some more guard play. Reggie Jackson has fallen off a cliff from where he's been. This is sources said season, and one of my favorite sources said, I think it came from my guy Shams, was the Clippers are willing to put John Wall on the table in trade talks. And I guarantee the rest of the league was like, yeah, we're good. Thanks. Thanks, but no
Will,
thanks.
You clearly didn't see John Wall on Theo Pinson's podcast. Also, by the way, Theo Pinson has a podcast.
Stuff.
He said he really crazy did. Shit on there. He was like, oh yeah, LeBron and the Cavs didn't want to see us in 2017. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Like, nah, John. And, like, you could have talked about that maybe, like, in 2016. You're not that guy anymore to be talking that type of trash. It's like their point guard play, they just don't get any easy buckets. They don't get anything in transition. It's always got to be Paul George or Kawhi creating all the shots. So I just feel like they've got to make a move. And it's funny when they're in the locker room saying stuff like, we got to have some urgency. We got to have some consistency in the lineup. It's like, bro, this is the team y'all built. Y'all built this thing around Kawhi. And Kawhi is listening to PG saying that. He's over in the corner like, all right, I'm going to be out tomorrow. You can talk all that consistency and with the lineup stuff you want, but I'm gonna be out tomorrow. And as long as that's kind of the mentality in that locker room, like, hey, yeah, some of these guys are gonna play and some of them won't, then I don't see how you could really build anything.
Yeah, I think part of it for me is, like, I'm still obviously I'm always gonna be very much in the bag for Kawhi. Like, He's the guy I've believed in since San Diego State, and so I'm gonna like ride with him, especially after what he did in 2019. But it's also like
that was a long time.
That was a while ago, right? That was a while ago. He's always dragging that leg. I mean, he dragged that leg through 2019, and there's a certain point, Jay, where like you need reps together on the court. Like they don't practice much. Like they don't play much together. Like you do need that consistency.
And it's the same old song with this group. Like, can they get Paul George and Kawhi on the court together? Can they do this? It's like, no, they can't. They never have been able to. And that's part of the issue. But I do think the issues go beyond that. Like Will said, it's just really hard for this team to create buckets. They don't have a lot of guys who can just go by their man and get into the paint and create easy buckets for guys.
And they don't have an offensive system that gets a lot of guys on the move, right? Like, so then it is just a lot of one-on-one creating and trying to get by a man that you can't really get by.
Well, it's tough, too. Like, Reggie Jackson, John Wall, those guys just aren't shot makers. Like, they're not going to be, like, super threatening. Teams aren't going to guard them super close. So that puts stress on everyone else because there's more guys in the paint. I do.
You guys are too negative. Kawhi's going to be on the court. They're going to be fine in the playoffs.
There's a version of this team that's probably extremely amazing at defense. And maybe you just have to go bigger. Maybe you have to go with, like, Terrence Mann at point guard, Norm Powell, Kawhi, Paul George. Like, just play those guys instead of the point guards. But and they then the backup center is such an issue. Like,
yeah, Moses. Like,
Moses Brown.
Yeah,
no, Moses Brown. No, no.
That ain't the answer.
Wow. All right, take two. Hey, speaking of big men, Pirtle on the block on Tuesday morning. Our own Shams Charania reported the Spurs center Jakob Pirtle has gained significant trade interest from teams such as the Toronto Raptors and Boston Celtics. Shams continues. Also, players like Terry Rozier, Mason Plumlee, Gary Trent Jr., John Collins, who is forever on the trade block, and Bojan Bogdanović as players in trade discussions. Will, do any of these players truly matter at the trade deadline, and will they take anyone else to a different level?
Yeah, when I kind of looked at this list, the two names that really jumped out to me were Bojan Bogdanović and Gary Trent. I'm a big Gary Trent guy. I think he's a real contributor on a good team, can shoot threes, tough as hell, plays defense. And we know Bogdanović's shoot numbers are crazy this season. But I like Gary Trent, I can see him like the team I cover, the Pelicans. I think he would help them a whole lot. The Mavs or the Bucks, I think those would be some good fits for him. But the rest of these guys, like John Collins, I'm kind of out on. Scary Terry, he's cool, but like I don't know how much of an impact he makes. And Mason Plumlee, I'm just out forever. Like if you
shoot, he has that one reverse dunk every game.
A lefty free throw in a game that matters. I need
he does that one lefty reverse jumper, dunk alley-oop every game, I'm in for it.
What I'm really against are these people who are on the internet, like Mason Plumlee, so brave for shooting with his left hand, not scared of embarrassed. Jeremy Sochan, shooting with one hand, not scared. No, how about you get a jumper that looks
good?
Learn
how to shoot. Yes.
Shoot like a professional. Shoot like you have access to a gym 24/7. How about that?
At least shoot like you're on TikTok. You're watching those better basketball videos on there. That's all you need.
That's what I'm really out on. More than Mason Plumlee. I don't know those people who commend ugly jumpers.
Jay, speaking of ugly jumpers, Jay, with the Jakob Pirtle news, I do think whatever team gets him is going to another level. And I think if the Celtics find a way to make that happen, I think you could wrap it up. Like I think that's a title clincher for them.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Celtics do because they could feel totally comfortable with their rotation right now. And if they are fully healthy in the playoffs, Al Horford and Robert Williams can be their only two centers that they play. And then you use Grant Williams at power forward when he comes in. You stagger those two guys so that at least one of them is on the court at all times. They feel confident in how Luke Kornet has played. But honestly, I don't know whether
He's not good.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be confident. He's not good.
And yeah, I need somebody more exciting in trade rumors. Though. We can't be having this be like the Jakob Poeltl, Terry Rozier.
What about a D'Angelo Russell?
Jakob
Poeltl. What about a Mike Conley Jr.?
That does not excite me. I am very out
on D'Angelo Russell.
Mike Conley's like 73, and I love Mike Conley's game, but no, that does not excite me at all. Although D'Angelo does seem like he's unhappy over there. He does not seem thrilled with the way things are going. Probably team-wise, you know who else
doesn't seem thrilled over there? The rest of the team.
The whole damn franchise seems unhappy.
The owners.
Yeah. The guy selling nachos in the concourse, he's unhappy. Everybody's unhappy.
The only person that's happy is the guy selling beers because he never had more business than people trying to get drunk at T-Wolves games.
But it is tough when you see like Shams comes out with like the trade intel and the headliner is Jakob Poeltl. Like Jakob Poeltl is a good player. Jakob Poeltl is definitely an interesting player, but I need some more juice as the deadline arrives. I need
who do you need? What's the level of player that needs to be above?
I feel like Trae Young would be really that would be fun.
I got another fun one to throw out there.
There's enough there with the coaching staff. Obviously, the
front office is a mess.
The front office just decided ownership to change everything.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're not going to trade him, I don't think. But if it starts to come out that he's disgruntled, you know, maybe he wants out or is thinking about it. That's the type of stuff that I need to see moving forward.
Will, who spices up for you?
This might be a little spicy, but I would say Chris Paul's name should be out there.
Whoa.
I think because if Phoenix continues to fall off, we've already seen them starting to say stuff like, hey, Phoenix might be interested in Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
And to me, that says we're ready to move on at point guard. We're ready to find, because we know they're not moving on from Devin Booker, so they got to find a point guard to play with Devin Booker. And if they just continue to sputter the way they have, you could probably get some for CP. And I think waiting to move him is going to be the worst thing because you're not going to get any more value from him as he continues to get older. So if they just feel like, hey, we're just fighting for the play-in, why not just kind of shuffle the deck a little bit here and see where we can do going into 23-24? But I think that's the name I would be like, hey, if somebody wants to jump into the CP sweepstakes, that could make a difference for somebody.
They're in a really interesting situation.
One and out with Chris Paul. That's what it's got to be. The honeymoon and then get out.
They're in a really interesting situation, man. Because they were awesome when Devin Booker was healthy at the beginning of the season. Like they were.
Yeah, people forget they were really good. Yeah, they were really, really good.
And, I mean, last year, obviously, it ended as disastrously as it could. But they were just a machine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's got to be, like, some version of this team that's very competitive. And the West is so wide open. That if they use Jay Crowder to go and get someone and then get Booker healthy, like you could talk yourself into that group. But also, if they want to just tear it apart, Chris Paul's close to 40 now and not getting any younger. Finally, age might be hitting him a little bit.
A little advice for the trade market: Jay Crowder, stop talking to people. Just every comment makes it somehow less amenable for you. Like it's like we were all on your side, and now it's you just got to stop talking.
Amenable?
All right, we'll get into the. Well, yeah.
Amenable?
Yeah.
Amenable.
Both ways work. Yeah. Look it up. We'll get into the West play-in race, but first, back after this.
No, I'm questioning myself.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yermans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and Cable, the brand's artistic signature. David Yerman's collections are available on davidyerman.com.
Take three, the race for 10. The West play-in race is starting to heat up with the Lakers, the Suns, and the Blazers all on the outside looking in at the Thunder, right. The Wolves. I know I'm right. The Jazz and the Warriors. That's a fun little break between the commercials in between that moment. Keep all this in, Schleck. The West Please. Is very jumbled in the middle. In fact, 9 of the 15 teams in the West are within 3.5 games of one another. With the February 9th trade deadline approaching fast like a freight train, several of these teams will be looking to upgrade to keep their playoff hopes alive. So, Jay, let me pull you away from the dictionary and ask you, who do you think ultimately makes the play-in tournament in the West?
I'm honestly a little rattled right now. My man said amenable. And I think he was right. And that's the most disappointing part.
Oh, man.
Is that he's right. I honestly think that the Clippers are going to end up in the play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the Clippers and Oklahoma City getting into the playoffs.
Wow.
Oh.
I like that. I like the idea of OKC just saying, let's keep it going. Let's see if we can make things weird here.
They're actually good. And here's the thing. I do not
they're good
believe
defensively. Which
I don't
is surprising.
Believe in Minnesota at all.
No.
Portland could definitely get in the mix.
I think Phoenix will be fine once Booker.
Yeah, I take that back. I can't have the Thunder in there.
Wow.
Phoenix and the Clippers will make it out of the play-in tournament. And the Golden State.
You stepped Schlecht right in the chest there.
Yeah,
the
back, just left our producer chest. Is yeah. a Thunder rough. Guy. And I took it back. But sorry, Schlecht.
They're rattled. I'm going to Will. You don't even know how to talk anymore. Will, who do you think is going to make the play-in tournament?
Amenable, man.
You know, I'm amenable to OKC making the play. You know, some may even say I'm amenable to it. You know?
Yeah, he's both.
But I wrote down my four teams. I got Clips, Suns, Portland, OKC in. I've got mini Utah, Lakers out.
Yes, I agree with that.
And I've got, and I think I'm going to go Clippers, Portland as the two teams that make it in to the actual playoffs.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, I really love what OKC is doing. Shea and Giddy, I think, are moving up there as one of the best backcourt tandems in the league. Giddy's been incredible the past couple weeks. And, you know, all of these young guys, they're just figuring it out. Trey Mann's doing stuff. They got, you know, Aaron Wiggins out there. They got all of these young guys. I love me some Kenny Hustle from way back in his Pelicans days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just got a bunch of dudes. They probably need a little bit of front court help just to make it a little bit more sustainable for the long term. But, yeah, I really love what they're doing out there. They're playing hard, and Shea has them believing. I think maybe more than anything else, he gives them a legit crunch time score. Whenever they play in these close games, it feels like Shea's the guy who closes it out more times than not. So I feel really good about what they're doing. And, I mean, we've said it before, but I don't feel good about what Minnesota's doing whatsoever. and
Utah's about to get another lottery pick. Like, I don't think it's going to be a high one, but, I mean, my goodness, that trade already. That's
yeah,
rough.
It's bad, man. And Walker Kessler is like already better than Rudy Gobert, which is
all right. Everyone needs to relax on this. Okay, he had a great game in which Rudy played 5 minutes because he hurt his groin. Like that's everyone needs to relax.
But if you were going to,
he's
trade
good.
Him,
he's good.
You would he's not good. Trade Walker I'll Kessler Walker, straight up for Rudy
I
Gobert.
I wouldn't trade for Rudy Gobert for anything. So that's like that's on. I mean,
once you throw the salaries in there, it's not even close.
Oh, my God. Take the salaries out. I just don't want Rudy on my team. I don't want a guy that complains all the time on my team.
I kind of want the Thunder in the playoffs now. I kind of said that just to throw a
He's
curveball.
He's back, Schlecht. He's back.
I kind of said that just to throw a curveball.
But we're amenable to
those dudes.
The chat is nothing but Schlecht just going, wow.
Those dudes are actually tough to guard. Like, the pace they play with. And not just like running and gun. It's like the pace they play with in the half court.
Everything's
is really impressive. Like, that is a really well coached team that clearly listens to what they're being told. And I'm a big Thunder guy this year.
Let me get Andrew to throw one more wow in there. If they make the playoffs, do we see Chet Holmgren at some point this year? Is that a possibility?
Wow. No,
that would be fun.
You can't throw him in.
I mean, I went through this with Zion last year in the playoffs. Ooh. Everybody wanted Zion to come back for the playoffs. If they make it deep enough, do we see Chet at some point?
Oklahoma City have a Thunder have a positive net rating. That's crazy.
Last I checked, they were like 11th in defense. That's a young team that defends. I don't want to compare them straight up to this team, but that's what the Grizzlies did when they started becoming good, right? Is they were good defensively out of nowhere as a young team, and that's just good coaching.
Who would have thought that a talk about the play-in tournament in the
West? It's just Thunder talk. Yeah, this is just
Thunder talk. I'm with it.
I kind of love that.
All right.
But they're in the mix. They're in the mix.
Coming
it is more
up.
Than halfway through the season, and they are in the mix.
Schleck says I tricked y'all. All right. Much like Pat Beverly. All right, coming up after the break, Mavs making an upgrade soon. Back after this.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Take four, Luka pushing for moves. Dallas Mavericks 24-21, fifth in the Western Conference, but that doesn't seem to be good enough for Luka Doncic. This comes from ESPN, quote, Doncic has strongly indicated he wants the Mavs to upgrade the roster before the February 9th trade deadline. You'll remember recently someone put a cool mural up, someone somewhere in Dallas with Luka saying, get him some help. And Mark Cuban called it disrespectful. Said, hey, cool mural, but it's disrespectful. Take it down. Don't take it down.
Disrespectful
but
to who?
You got to be better to the Mavericks. The Mavericks team. And then Luka says, hey, I need some help. Will, what are your thoughts on public demands for roster upgrades? And can the Mavs do anything right now to help out Luka?
Yeah, I'm all for it. I'm down with guys putting pressure on the front offices to do something and to want to win big because they
LeBron
put so much pressure. Yeah, LeBron should try to go that route. You know, he's tried everything else. But I think the big thing for them is just like when I look at them, I say, yeah, it would be great if they added some help, if they gave Luka something. But it's like, how many of these dudes want to go to Dallas and be like part of Luka and the Pips? Like, who wants to just like does Gary Trent, who's going to be a free agent this summer, want to go stand in the corner like Tim Hardaway?
He might want some of those passes.
Like, we know Scary Terry wants the ball. Is he going to go to Dallas and be happy? Like, Bojan gets to shoot whatever he wants in Detroit. Is he going to go over there and stand in the corner in Dallas? So I think that's my big question with them is like, how many of these dudes actually want to go to Dallas and be a part of that squad? But they need help, no doubt, because if Tim Hardaway's your second best guy, it ain't great.
Yeah, they've regressed defensively from last year, and it seemed like the only – thing they really fixed last year was just like they rebounded better. You know, they would get misses and they rebound better, and now they don't rebound that way anymore, and the defense has slid way down. Also, you know, unrelated, they acquired Christian Wood in the offseason, so, you know, crazy how the defense goes down with that. But hey, Jay, what can the Mavs do?
They're in a weird spot because Luka is putting pressure on them, and Luka is good enough that you have to listen to him. And if Luka gets pissed off, that is bad for your entire franchise. That said, you have to be patient. And a lot of franchises, when they have a guy that's as precocious and as dominant as Luka is, you can try to get ahead of yourself and try to fast forward it and try to put a contending team around him right away versus being patient and looking for the right opportunities, because you have years. Like, it's not like this is it for Luka. It's not like this is going to be your best chance. No matter who they acquire at the trade deadline, this team is probably not going to be a real championship contender. And letting go of Brunson suggests to me that front office understands it's not about building the best team right now. It's about being patient, looking for the right opportunities to eventually build the right team around Luka. And honestly, like, he's incredible, but I do think you need a certain group of guys around him. Like you need people who can make up for his defensive shortcomings. You need long wings, athletic wings. You need a secondary creator. Like, there's a list of things you have to check off to build around Luka. You need a lot of shooting to maximize his playmaking.
Yeah.
Their roster honestly is far from it.
They should be going after guys like OG, right? Like, that's the type of player.
Young guys like that who can build with Luka and who would compliment him and accentuate his gifts, that's all they need to be looking at. That's it. And it doesn't matter if it's for this year or later. Like, just get guys that fit next to him and compliment him.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
I was going to say, just the big picture-wise with them, I think it's hard to really take them seriously as a title contender until they get, like, a serious number two in there, like a second star, a second all-star level guy. And I think just looking at their roster, the way it's constructed, I just – it's hard to see how they can get that guy. Like, are they going to really be able to do, like, a Tim Hardaway, Christian Wood type trade plus a million draft picks to go get somebody? And, like, who can you really get at that point? And, like, I think I just kind of go back to, like, them swinging and missing as hard as they did on the KP trade, I think might have set them back more than they really thought. And I think they kind of bounced back from it and got some good pieces sending KP out there to the Wizards. But it's just like, man, it's just like, what's their path to getting that second star next to – and like, as much as I love OG, OG's really good. He would help them a lot. But it's like, is OG going to be your second best player when you're going against the Nuggets or the Grizzlies? Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, who's that guy, and how are they going to get him in Dallas? And what point is – you already see it now. At what point is Luka going to start getting impatient with their attempts to get that second guy?
I think, too, on that is we're seeing a little bit of, like, kind of the same issues of bringing in another guy next to James Harden in Houston, right? Like, you can bring in names. Like, they haven't done – like, well, they kind of did that with Kristaps, but it was – Luka was also so young at that point. Like, I don't know if that's fair. But you can bring in names, but that's a very heliocentric – offense, right? Like, everything's him, and it's not a lot of anything else until it has to be. And that's a tough way to play basketball. That's a tough way for other guys to just decide to fit in and play. And then on top of that, you know, I don't want to take away from what they did last year, but I think it's fair. Like, did they make the conference finals, or did they end up in the conference finals? And I think when you end up in conference finals, look at Atlanta, for example, it can trick you into thinking you're further along than you actually are at that building point. And so it's great that they made it. That's good experience. But it doesn't mean that they're there consistently moving forward.
To their credit, right? I think they understood that. And I think that's part of the reason why they weren't more aggressive in trying to keep Jalen Brunson. And obviously they screwed that up.
And the tampering.
But obviously they screwed that up by not
I think that's why they didn't by not have signing Jalen Brunson
him
on
to
the
a smaller extension earlier. But
I think it's the tampering, but yeah.
It's they did not treat that like, oh, we're a piece away from being a championship team. I think that they're taking a longer view. Honestly, like, there aren't too many, like, super intriguing pieces on that roster. There just aren't. Like, yeah, I would want Kleber on my team. I'd want Hardaway Jr. on my team.
Dorian Finney-Smith is a great player to have on your team.
Yeah, for sure.
And they need him to be healthy. Like, he's been out a bunch, so maybe it's more fair to pin that defense on that absence than the Christian Wood addition. Rockets fans, you got to be happy not to have to pretend he's good anymore, right?
Yeah.
All right.
There's just not a ton there, and it's not like there's young prospects either. They're just kind of a boring roster around Luka.
Take five, Steph for president? Warriors visited the White House Wednesday morning, and as part of their year-long championship celebration, Draymond Green was asked about Steph running for president someday, and Green said this: "I think Steph could someday run for president of the United States. Smart, put together, doesn't really make mistakes. Why not?" He also nominated himself for Secretary of Defense, and everyone had a big old media chuckle at that. It's what a line, because you gotta laugh when someone says something that's marginally clever. That's just what you gotta do. Jay, don't want to get political here, but would you vote for Steph Curry for president?
Yes. Yes, I would. And here's why. Think of how much it takes to keep a core group of players together and on the same page and working towards the same goal in the modern era. Right. Those dudes won a championship in 2015. Mm-hmm. They started their run years before that. They have been together and they've gone through so much and they haven't splintered. Him, Draymond, Klay Thompson, like, it takes a special gift.
Draymond did punch a teammate and drive another one out. But
they got through it. They got through it.
You're not going to have a Hall of Famer away from the team.
You're not going to have a presidential term with no conflicts, no controversies. You just got to get through it. Kevin Durant, you know, there was that whole thing on the bench, whatever. He ended up leaving.
He cussed off Steve Kerr a few times.
But seriously, think of how quickly NBA windows shut today.
Yeah.
And how quickly... Yeah. Players move on, teams move on, guys get unhappy. What Steph, Klay, and Draymond, and Steve Kerr have been able to do, and I'll throw Andre Iguodala in there.
Yeah.
What they've been able to do for this long is incredible. And to still have the enthusiasm, and maybe they don't have the enthusiasm this year. They're just about 500 and don't defend anyone. But to keep that spirit as long as they've done it. Is just presidential.
Presidential?
It's presidential.
I know. He lost so much steam there. He lost so much steam.
It's like presidential.
He got caught in the air, and he's just like, I got to throw it to somebody. I don't know what to do here.
I think I landed that perfectly, honestly.
You know what? The way you said that is perfect, because that's a perfect transition of my presidential candidate, who is not named Stephen Curry. I'm not going to do what Marcus Thompson would do in this scenario and just vote Steph Curry. I'm throwing in a different name in the hat. I'm throwing Ja Morant up for president. I think Ja is a uniter. He unites his teammates.
Uniter. It's going to talk shit to every leader in the world. His
opponents. I want a president who stunts on his opponents. I don't want y'all feeling comfortable when my president
He's
going to
be like, I'm not worried about Russia.
Forget Russia. We're stunting on the rest of y'all. I want somebody who's going to come in and change everything up, who's going to make us feel like what we were doing in the past ain't working. I want somebody who's going to have Moneybag Yo and Yo Gotti shooting dice in the Oval Office. Right. I want somebody who's going to come in and have people braiding hair in the White House. I just want somebody to change up the vibe. I don't want the same old, same old. Give me Ja Morant and all of the Memphis rappers for president 2024.
All of them.
I want all of them on the ticket. Every single one.
What about this? Why don't we just end democracy? Why don't we go to maybe a more royal approach? And as King James goes away from the NBA, he just rules a country. Why don't we do that? Have I been watching The Crown? Yeah, I just started it. It has nothing to do with me thinking we should have kings and queens and ruling everything. Like, has it worked out historically? No. But, you know, LeBron's a good dude. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Like, is he going to put Russell Westbrook in charge of something he shouldn't be in charge of? Maybe. But that's part of the fun, right? Isn't that politics? Is that what we're supposed to do?
I need that Ja Morant. I need to see his policies.
Ja Morant,
his policies, they'd be absolutely awesome.
With King LeBron, does that mean we got to deal with Bryce putting out podcasts about how Bronny was mean to him when he was growing up.
Yes, I think they just try to replicate everything that's happened.
Bryce splinters away from the James family.
By the way, if you're thinking about watching that Harry and Meghan thing, just watch the first two episodes. Episodes 3 through 6 are not worth it. You're not going to learn anything else. Unless you really want to see Tyler Perry at some point, there's really no need to see the 6th episode at all. Hey, that seems like a good way to wrap up this podcast. That's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. We've got Warriors Plus Minus with future president Steph Curry. Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks. We got the Glue Guys. We got Sixers Beat, and we got the Bun and Cardigan Show with our good friend James Edwards III out there in Paris. Just, I don't know, eating croissants and baguettes and taking fit pictures. Every single tourist attraction you can find.
The Eiffel Tower fit's going to be crazy.
Oh, it's going to be nuts.
Go crazy.
For Jay King, Will Guillory, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.
Vote for Ja.
Vote Ja.
I'm still shook by Amenable, man. That had me legit rattled.